Okay, and I'm now going to do a mute all, and you will not have the ability to unmute yourself, except for co-hosts. So Bridget, you can unmute yourself, and Gillian, you can unmute yourself as well. I won't. Okay, so you're both unmuted, so I'll now progress. So welcome all to the May meeting of the Ottawa PC User Group, and I'm going to turn it over to Bridget to introduce our speaker for tonight.
Yes, our speaker tonight is Gillian Villeneuve from MGU, the Macintosh User Group of Ottawa. And she is our guest tonight because we were looking for speakers last year. And my dad had owned a Macintosh, and I had frequented the MGU meetings in the late 80s and early 90s. And I thought it would be kind of neat to see, for Windows users, to see a Macintosh. I'm sure we've all seen the odd Mac here and there, but I do have a soft spot for them, and they were truly beautiful instruments. I remember when, in the late 80s, when I got my first Windows 3.1, and being so disappointed after having used my dad's Macintosh, I thought, oh, what's this? And with Windows 10, Windows has come through in leaps and bounds, and it's so much better now. We've really closed the gap with the Mac, but the Mac still has a few tricks up its sleeve. It still has some impressive free apps that come bundled with the OS, and I believe Gillian might touch on a few of those. And So the meeting is not the presentation is not very technical tonight. It's more just for everybody to see the Mac and how beautiful it is, and to see it sort of in action. And Gillian will just give us mostly a live demonstration of her Mac, and it's a MacBook Pro, I believe. And so thank you very much, Gillian, for doing this. You're a brave soul presenting your Mac to a bunch of Windows users. So thank you very much, and welcome to our club. You are officially a member too. You joined. So, okay. So I will mute myself and pass it on to Gil.
Okay. Thank you. Now the technical things to make this work for you to be able to see. I'm going to share my screen, and Chris may direct me how to do some of the things I've forgotten how to do, as usual. There we go. Okay. And I have been on Mac since sometime in the 80s. My husband brought the first one home, I think, when the federal government decided they were going to have all one kind of computer. And therefore, there were some miscellaneous things flying free, and he brought a Mac home. And this is a version of what I had. It was perfectly possible to pick it up. There is a handle at the back here. But it's not a mingy little handle. It's something you can get your fingers into, and it's not terribly heavy. I didn't need to pick it up with both hands and a big hug to get it somewhere. It also had the keyboard separately and a mouse separately. But there's your screen, and the rest of the stuff is inside, and there is a slot for a floppy disk, the little 2.5, three inch disk, and that's what I worked on. I must have worked on it for at least 5 years. At one point, we were living in another city, and I was typing for my husband as he dictated his ideas, and I talk with my hands. I was typing for him, and all of a sudden, the computer stopped responding and went beep, 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 and not just beep, beep, but a line of them. And I lifted my hands from the keyboard, and the computer went on typing. Oh, this is new. And then I put my hands back down, and we went on with the thing until I got too far ahead of the computer. At the beginning, it was quite amusing, but it taught us that we had to slow down slightly. I imagine that under the right conditions, that really old computer could run in somebody's store or something of that. It would probably only do one thing. I don't know if it would go on the internet or not. It certainly wouldn't have the security that a modern computer would have. But, you know, it could do one task, and it might require the right person to figure out how to use it, but I think it would work. The screen, of course, was small, very small, maybe the size of a decent tablet nowadays. There were many, excuse me, many other models. Hang on a sec. Many other models over the years. And one I had was a Centris. It's like a tower lying on its side, about the same kind of size, but it had, I think it must have had room for a CD or a DVD now, going into the slot in the front. But it was replaced fairly quickly. It wasn't the lasting one. One of the things you can still do with a computer, or in fact, you've been able to for quite a while, is run Parallels and Windows on a Mac. So I don't do it. I've never got around to setting it up. This is a different model. This was a towered computer that was, you can see the Big Apple logo, and look how easy it would be to carry it. Those handles were decent size. Another model that was out, and you've probably seen ads for it some years ago, and I think this little sort of round thing at the back of the colored area was probably a handle also. I never owned one, but I'm pretty sure that was. A lot of effort went into style with the colored units, different shapes, convenience, and really many models over the years. My current computer is this. This is a Mac Mini, M1, not the newest chip anymore, where they're putting out M3s now. You can see in the back, it's got two USB ports. It's got an HDMI port, two USB-C ports. There's, I'm not dead certain what that is. Might be a monitor port, and then the plug port. And over here on the left, where you can't see it, is a little flat on-off button that you rarely see. This is what I have on my desk, so I'm using a laptop tonight. This one is about 7.5 inches across and back to front, and less than 2 inches high. It, as far as I know, does everything but record and have a camera. But I use my laptop when I need the camera. And there are often speakers on your monitor, so normally there isn't a problem. What else? Okay. They've done a lot in the design area. But they've done as much under the skin. And so the Macintosh doesn't have a fan. It's because of it. They engineered the to avoid the necessity of a fan. And that quote from Steve Jobs is from quite a long time ago. What can we do versus virtually anything? I can't think of anything that I wanted to do with the Mac that I haven't been able to do. But maybe I don't experiment enough. I'm not into design. I could give a hoot, and I don't know that I have any ability to do it. But finances, house records, ideas. When I was working, I was doing reports. I was a dietitian, and I was doing reports for regarding patients and so forth. I don't do music. I don't do video. I don't bother with it. Communication, of course, you do that via email. I can get on FaceTime, which is a communication method that probably a number of you use anyway. but it's what I could have a meeting on FaceTime or just a conversation with a friend. Apple makes the computer, they also make the software. Therefore, there is lots in the computer, just as I've said a few slides back. For documents, the software is Pages. Over the years, there's been a number of different methods for doing documents. Pages is the most recent one, and it's been out for a while now. We had one thing called iWorks, and it contained the spreadsheets and documents in there, as far as I remember. The spreadsheet is numbers. I use it a fair amount, but I don't always use them for spreadsheets. I use them when I want grids and when I want things to line up and I can do explanations for myself in general. The Pages contains a lot of things, samples, templates for you to start into some task you want to take on. And Numbers has such things. I can do computation with formulae and so forth. I'm doing this, my part of the slides are in a thing called Keynote. And this, I've learned to use it to in order to talk to you. Music, Bridget wanted me to bring up GarageBand, so I'll try and remember to do that later. I've never used it, and I assume it's on the computer. Photo management, they had iPhoto for a while, now they have Photos, and you can do all sorts of things with it. Apple TV, I've never done anything with. I'm not a huge television person. Finder is the basic place where applications are. And what I'm going to do is get out of this and look at, all right, I'll go back to it in a few minutes. I want to show you how the Finder is useful to you. And so I'm going to do a lot of things on my desktop for you. And you can start almost any action from the Finder. You might look for a piece of software that was there, or you might look straight into finding a document that you're working on. And remember that many years ago, the computer didn't save automatically. Older Mac users do a Command S, almost every line of typing, Command S, to the point that it's hard not to do it. Though I'm beginning to get over it because things are saved now. I can move things around it. I can move files around just by dragging them, and I'll show you that. And I can search from this as well. It's very practical. Safari is our built-in browser. It's really a very good program. I'm going to show you some of it because it's got some super practical methods. I think I've probably said practical several times already. There are extensions available, and there are people who write newer programs for the Mac because they take the software that exists and go a little further, thinking that, well, you know, maybe they didn't think of that, but here's how I want to use it. So they do that. Other browsers work there. I can use Chrome on my computer. A lot of people will use Firefox. And so they all work. It's not a big issue. I can print just like the rest of you do. And your PC has an app, as far as I know, called for Print Friendly. Mac has Reader built into Safari. So if I have a page full of stuff, including all the ads that somebody may have, I can open it in Reader, and I will have nothing but that document. And therefore, if I want to print it, that's the best way to print. So I'll try and show you that as well. The command key, it's that funny square with points on the points, and apparently came from was redesigned from an old symbol called St. John's Arms. And somebody, they were looking for something that was different so that people would pick it out easily. And if you're really curious about keyboard commands, which a lot of Mac people use, you would be able to find a link by doing a search for it. I generally search in DuckDuckGo rather than using Google. I like it. It suits me. Hackintosh, since it's come up on my list, Hackintosh, if any of you are like to experiment with your computers, and this will work with certain PCs. And the website would tell you what PC you can use and would help you find the software, and you could convert an old PC into a usable Mac. I've done it. It may not be the most fun, but it's usable. Then, what? Under the Apple, you can't see that when I'm in this Keynote, but it's the top left-hand thing on the Mac screen. It is the Apple, and certain things you need are under the Apple. They don't maybe have other convenient homes, so they put them together there. You can use a force quit if a program freezes. You learn the keyboard command for force quit. And you learn where to find it if your cursor still works, but you can force a program to quit, or you put your computer to sleep, or you restart, or shut down, or a few other things. Now let's go on to looking at the screen. Now remind me how to move to my screen, Chris.
Depends on what you did to share. You might have to stop sharing. And then reshare,
yes. Yes.
And choose desktop. Yeah, so if you reshare and choose your desktop.
Where's reshare? That's the part. I knew I'd forget this. So just share again.
Yep, share.
And this time I choose my desktop. There, that's what I want. Okay, I don't Safari my accounts. Let's do Safari my accounts.
Well, Safari, that's just sharing just strictly Safari. So you want to stop the sharing?
Yes, I will. I can shrink Safari down. Yes.
But you're sharing just Safari, so it won't show your desktop. You have to actually share your desktop. So you have to stop the sharing again. And then when you do share screen, you should have one of the options should be your desktop.
That's what I forgot to set up, didn't I? Okay. I'm not finding what I need to do. And that's empty. So I want to get out of nothing but Safari's open. That's what the problem is.
Okay. If you close Safari, like sometimes if you have too many application windows open, it'll be hard to find what you want to share. So if you close some of your running apps.
And that. I tend to have a lot of screens open.
Yeah.
As I'm showing you, it's my strong point, having screens open. And so there they go. Whoops, they go slowly. One of the things I can do, you can see these three buttons on the screen. Are
well,
you
we can't.
Them?
No, no, you, no, you're not. You're not sharing yet.
Okay, so I now share screen. I've got another button to share screen. Have I gone to it? Not yet. Yes, I did. Have I? Sorry, people.
And then share when you click on share screen, one of the options to share would be desktop.
Desktop, love it. Got you. Okay.
And that's it. Good.
Wonderful. Thank you. One of the things I can do, and I have to move it again, I can select a whole bunch of things. So I'll select a batch, and I can put them into a file just by dragging like that. Very handy, particularly when you have 30 or 40 things on your desktop like I do. What I particularly want to show you in the Finder, and the Finder is our basic starting point, as I was saying to you before. It has its own preferences window, so I can choose general, or I can do tags or something to do with the sidebar, and I'll often do that. But what I do, I open a window. I'm going to just close that one, get it out of my way, and then I have the sidebar on the left, and I can go anywhere. I can go into applications, and here where I can show you a number that are directly Macintosh things. Numbers and Pages is here. Keynote is here. And now the URL manager, I don't think is a Mac thing. And I will talk about backup in a minute, but here's SuperDuper, which is another backup program. And a lot of us Mac people do one or two backups. Time Machine plus something is extremely common among us. Here's the App Store for the Mac, for the Apple website. Here's FaceTime. Dictionary is something that's very useful. And I know you can download something to do a search, but what one of the things I will show you shortly, and remind me to do it, that if I just click on a word and hold, I will get a definition. A little window will come up with a definition and maybe some other information about the word. So it's very handy. Find My is also like Find My iPhone, Find My iPad. It's so if you mislay things, it's something you'd get to know quite easily. Messages, commonly used. And so you can see that there's a whole lot that contribute to your use of the computer without you having to buy anything extra. Text edit down here, and I don't know, maybe you can't read my screen properly from your screens, but text edit is a very basic text program, but it doesn't show live links and or anything like that. It's a kind of a desperation piece of software. If you have to have it, if nothing else will open a text, text edit might do it. Here's the Time Machine that Chris was hoping I'd show, and so I'll open it. It also has a window on my text bar that you no longer see. This allows me to look back at other dates. So let's say I go back here, and the graphics are very good. This is showing me May 8th. And I could go back even further. And this will say, I keep this saved on an external hard drive. And if I have to go into it, then I can even set it up to boot from the external hard drive if something goes wrong with my computer. So another, Chris said maybe the outsider's point of view, Chris, that it would be one of the top pieces of software that you know of.
Yeah, that's one area that for sure the Mac shines far beyond what Windows will provide. There's lots of backup solutions for the PC, and they're not terribly difficult. But the Time Machine is just amazing. And, you know, you just plug in a drive. It asks you if you want to use it as a Time Machine drive. You say yes, and that's it. You just leave it plugged in, and it will automatically do hourly backups for the last 24 hours, daily for the last month, weekly for all previous months, and the oldest gets deleted when space is required. Yeah. So just so easy to use. And, you know, there's no excuse for not having good backups on the Mac.
Yeah, there's no excuse. All you have to do is make sure you have a second drive, an external drive attached. And yeah. When we use a second backup program besides Time Machine, you back it up to the same hard drive generally. If you have space, you back up it to do two different hard drives. And some Mac users, I know, are fanatical enough that they will change drives every week. And some of them will even put their drive in the safety deposit box. I'm not that fanatical. Maybe I should be. I've never been desperate and wished I had yet. So I was saying to you that you'd also hear along my bar at the top, here's my drop down for Time Machine. Here's my dot, and if I click on a different one, here's my drop down about recording. Here's my Wi-Fi connector. Here's my battery indicator, and then there's Bluetooth and my sound, my loudspeaker information, where I can change the strength of the sound. So there's all sorts of things along here, some of which I can put up here because I choose to, and some of which Apple puts up here. So let me go straight back to a Finder window where, here, on iCloud Drive, I will have a whole lot of things, but I can have it starting with, I'm just closing all the things for the moment so you can see. I can start with one. There's my desktop. I double click and a whole bunch of things open. Here's another folder. I can double click on it. So I've gone down two layers now. Here are the things that are in that folder. In it, there's an alias with a link to something else, so it's going to take me outside of the thing, and there's another folder. So I can have multiple layers, and many people work that way. It's really, I can hardly think of not doing it, because I'm so accustomed to it. Things that I think are normal, for you might not be, but for me, they're just completely, I don't even think of them as being special. One or two of you may work that way already. And when I help a PC friend of mine, I have to make her computer work like a Mac, because otherwise I can't do anything. So I was over there, and she's learned to accept some of the ways I organize things. And therefore, I can find things on her computer without organizing it my way. I'm not helpful. So I'm going back, and I just use this back button to go back, has taken me back to iCloud Drive. So I might go into documents or desktop or things I've shared. Since I've rarely shared anything from the computer that I can think of, it's simply not an issue. Then down here on the side, this represents my hard drive. Then I can also do things related to the network. Well, there's nobody on my network but me. The computer next to me. That's my Mac Mini. But because I needed to have you see what I'm doing in this way, I'm working on the laptop. I don't do much with pins and tags and so forth. I've just never gotten around to it. So I'll go back slightly. Are there any questions that have come up?
Yeah, nothing so far, really. There was a question about Time Machine, whether it backs up the entire system. operating system apps and data. And so I replied that yes, indeed, it backs up to absolutely everything. And one of the cool things about Time Machine 2 that can be difficult on a PC is restoring to a different computer. So if you have a major failure on a PC side, it can be difficult to actually restore the entire computer to different hardware, whereas that's not an issue on Macs, that you get yourself a new Mac, plug in your Time Machine drive, boot from it, restore everything, the operating system, apps, and data all back all at once. So it's really a dream in that regard. There was one other comment we had, more than a question, from Mark, who said that he found that formatting an external disk that had to be used on both the Mac and Microsoft computer, it was best to do the formatting on the Mac itself rather than formatting it on the PC. So just a tip for anybody who does work cross platforms. I have one question, actually, Gillian. In the top of the left of your sidebar in Finder, there's a thing for AirDrop near the top. Have you used AirDrop at all?
Once or twice.
Okay. Anything you can share there? Because my understanding is that AirDrop can be a real dream for sharing documents and things between multiple computers.
What it is, it says lets you share instantly with people nearby. Yeah. So I'm not so certain that it's going to dragging something in there. And it's also possible for me to control by saying that it can only share with somebody in my contacts list. Okay. So since I've never done it, let's not play for now.
Okay.
I get tangled up.
Yeah, okay. There is another question from Tom. Is it easy to upgrade solid-state drive or memory on a Mac?
Depends on the Mac. There are models in which I've simply gone in and taken the bottom off and put in extra memory chips. Like, literally, I could go and buy them at, I don't know, Canada Computers or somewhere. And as long as I'm careful and it has space and I bought the appropriate chips, I just go push, click, and close it back up. That easy.
I guess just as with a PC, it just depends on the model of computer you have, whether it has additional memory slots and things like that. In terms of upgrading an SSD, that actually could be really simple. If it's a system drive, you could just, as long as you've got a good Time Machine backup, just pull the existing system drive, put in a blank SSD of whatever size you want, and then just boot from your Time Machine drive and restore everything. And a couple hours later, you'll be back in business.
I've never tried it. I have never gone near it. I think you might be ahead of me. I would be taking it to somebody to do. It may be easy, but I don't want to run a risk with it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are people who've done it because a computer has failed or something like that. I mean, but it's not in my dictionary, let's say. So,
actually, we have a question now from Alan. How frequently does Apple provide updates to the operating system? Can you select specific items, whether you want to install the updates or not? And how frequently do updates cause a reboot? And do you have control over when a restart will occur? So a few questions there. So maybe we can start off with you. Can you say how often Apple provides updates?
It may be, if I set it to be automatic, I might not notice.
Okay. So, in other words, it doesn't require a reboot usually?
It doesn't require my attention. Not necessarily. Some updates are more intensive and need me to do something. Or it might do it overnight on automatic, but when I come onto the computer in the morning, it would say, please reboot.
Oh, okay. So it's some OS updates and would require a reboot, and you just go ahead and do that. Yeah. Okay.
But hold on. When I reboot, in general, everything that I had open will reopen.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Right where I was, like the tab on Safari will be the one that is in front when I reboot.
And will that work with documents as well, if you have documents open?
Yes, because the app will reopen, and okay. I think the document will reopen with it.
Well, that's very good, because browsers on the PC side, browsers will generally reopen with existing tabs opened. If you've got them configured that way, you can configure it so it doesn't. But documents is another story. It's as a general rule, documents won't reopen on a reboot.
Okay, so we know something more.
Yeah.
More to that question?
Can you, when you, while you're doing automatic, you're allowing it to do updates automatically. Do you know if it's possible that you could just be notified that there are updates and allow you to select specific updates? Oh, okay.
That's because of when a new system comes out. Apple names their systems. We've had Snow Leopard and we've had Catalina and I think and Monterey. I'll tell you what I'm on now because I don't remember. Yes, we're on Monterey at the moment, and it's version 12.3.1. And I can check if it needs a software update. I won't bother now, but I can check that.
Yeah.
But generally, if it's something I need, it can, it will do it. That's one of the reasons that I leave mine running almost all the time.
Just so that updates will happen and you don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
And it'll generally happen overnight, as far as I know. You often, I know on my, some of my, I think it's on my iPhone that I'll get warning and I have to leave my iPhone connected to a computer or something in order to for the update to take place. If I don't have it connected, it won't update.
Okay.
So that's just any more.
One other question from Tom. Have you ever installed any Linux programs on your Mac?
No.
Okay.
Plain and simple, no. I know about it, but I've never done anything with it. I'm not a huge experimenter. I don't like getting in trouble.
Yeah. We have a comment from Edward. He says, personally, I disable automatic app restarts on crash reboot to avoid the possibility that what crashed the computer might quickly crash it again. That's a good point. And I remember people with OS 2 in the early days, that was a big famous thing they had, that it would automatically restart things. And if you ended up having something that was causing a problem, every time you tried to restart, it would restart the program that was causing it to crash. So I know that's a personal choice for some people, that they would just as soon not have apps restart on a reboot just to avoid that possibility.
Yes, that's perfectly fair. But I think a lot of those things have been solved. And the user experience is meant to be smooth.
Yeah.
And the other thing, a number of people will say, well, I don't think I'm going to update quite yet. You do get a choice of whether do you want to update immediately or do you want to wait.
Okay.
And so changing systems, a number of us will wait some months. So just to be sure, boy, do you ever see me talk with my hands? It's not easy to keep them still. So I'm going to go. Chris mentioned to me when we talked last week, these three buttons on the top left are to close the window that I'm in here, or to take full screen, and you see it drops down a little bit of detail. Full screen, tile to the left of the screen, or tile to the right. So I can make changes. And this yellow button, just blow away there. The yellow button allows me, I think you've got an equivalent, I don't remember what it's called.
Minimize.
Minimize, yes.
Yeah.
And I can put it down. I can put a miniature of what I'm yellow buttoning. It goes down into my dock here. So what I just yellow buttoned is going to be the Zoom window here at the very bottom. And you can set this dock to be hidden until you go down there, or to show full time. It's your choice. So, as I said, it's entirely your choice. It's how you like to work. And so what I want to show you, if we've covered a few questions,
yep.
I want to go back to Safari. Now, you may have to help me again, Chris, but we'll see what happens.
Safari. It should just load normally, and now we'll see it.
It wants me to drag it over the way I did. There we go. Well, you don't need this one because this is a credit card bill. And here's, well, I must have been working before. This will take me to logging in on CIBC. And so I have lots of windows open. And this one, okay, and we don't need it. So you can see I can red button these things really quickly.
Yeah, for the folks on here, those three color buttons, I was puzzled by what they were. They're really, and I'll just show on the PC side in the top right-hand corner of Windows, your maximize, minimize, and close buttons.
Yes. And so just by dragging this particular window over, I've gone back into Keynote. I always have windows open and tons of tabs. I'm a tab hoarder. I want to see what else I have here under the, I would have sworn to you that I had more Safari windows open.
Well, you probably closed them all because of the problem we had of when you were trying to share, that it had so many windows available and didn't have desktop showing. So you might have closed them all.
But I didn't, maybe I did. So what I do when I'm in Safari and want that to happen, I go under history and I reopen last closed window. Would it be the wrong one? Of course it will. I don't want that one open. So I go back into history and under different conditions, I could reopen all windows from the last session. But I'm going to show you some, fiddle. Now that I couldn't tell you how I did it. All right. That's something a few new things have happened. Let's try opening my email. Oh, here's my email tab. I want to show you when I click on a window, here's the CIBC one. As I hover over it, it drops down a little window. I think this is the cat's meow. It allows me to see what's under the tab without opening the tab. And I just find that so practical, particularly if I have 20 or 30 tabs open. Another thing, fiddlestick. I'm going to scare myself. When I want to get this a little bit lower so I can show you my URL line. When I go up to the URL line, look at what drops down. I think this is super. So it shows me favorites with the icons, and I can look at banking stuff that I've checked, or there's my email. I use NCF for email. I used to use it as my internet provider, but I changed from them the year before they went to high speed. And I've never gone back because sometimes when you change the person you pay, you need to you change who provides your internet. But I still use them, and I particularly like them. I can click on it again and show you that when you have, and I love this, and it's not directly Mac. If I look at these. And I'm telling you because, I guess I'm boasting about NCF. And NCF is National Capital Freenet. It originally was based out of Carleton. And I just think it's a really useful internet email provider. And I'm just looking for a particular type. It has, I think it allows me to avoid scams on some occasions. I haven't been scammed that I know of. It, because in this line where I'm moving my cursor around, it shows me the email address if that it's coming from. And it could say me, it could tell me, diamonds are here for you. And then in the line below it, it says .jp. Oops, I don't think I want you. And it will tell me if it leaves, if it's still saying something that looks as though it might be legit, but I can see the ISP information over here on the right, it might tell me something that I've seen on several other scammy emails. And I think, oh, I saw you before and you weren't what I want. So it gives me ways to keep out of trouble. And just because I like to share information, if any of you know somebody who's in community housing and hasn't taken advantage of the new government program giving you $20 a month internet, NCF had a program and they haven't been able to get involved with the government one for $30 a month available to people in community housing. So I thought that was really good, and I know it's not Mac only. When I'm in this, I could, let's say, I can sort my email. I can go and set things to go to green mail. In other words, it'll go straight through to my mail. I can say maybe, so I send it, it goes to my yellow mail, or red. If the program thinks it's red mail, I'll never even see it, which is fine. I haven't had any problem with that. Now, what else is really interesting in Safari? Oh, I can set on this computer, there's not so much, but I can set my sidebar to show me bookmarks. There's plenty there. Or I can go back from the bookmarks and set it to show me my reading list. So when I can set things aside in the reading list because I want to read them, but I don't want to bookmark them. But I tend to overdo the bookmarks. I probably overdo the reading list too because I don't always get rid of them. Another thing that I haven't shown you and I haven't really figured out how to show you visually what's under my fingers. Here are keyboard commands. So Command F, I can do Command F in the Finder and find all sorts of things. A second way to look for it is to go under Spotlight, this magnifying glass at the top, and I could type in, what do I want to type in? Parliament buildings. Let's say Parliament buildings. Funny how you can't. Parliament Hill. It already suggests Parliament Hill. So I can select that if I want to. That will take me to some selections that are related to Parliament Hill. I think that's very handy. I've also discovered that the PC has something like that, because I was over helping my friend the other day, and lo and behold, I said, there's got to be a way to find something. So I did my PC type thing. There wasn't a magnifying glass, but you have a search box. So I searched for what I needed on her computer, which we had lost, and we found it. So I think the magnifying glass is very handy, and I don't even have to close it. I just go away from it, and it closes. Another thing that is quite useful, maybe I don't want to close a window. Maybe I don't want to close a program, but I do want to hide it. Do a Command H, it's gone, and it'll go down to the bottom. I don't want to close it now because I don't want to have difficulty reopening it. But there's my Command Save, and it's all, each time it's that little squiggly box to left of the, to, on this computer is both the left and the right of the space bar. There, I have two options. And on my keyboard, I have, besides the space bar, I have the command key, I have option, control, and function. I don't think I've used function almost ever. This particular laptop has a line of keys, which aren't keys, they're touch keys as opposed to type keys, if my difference makes sense. But I don't think Mac is continuing with them. They're not, some people say they're not great. I rarely use them. I don't even notice them. On a different keyboard, I would still have the same function keys that you have, F1 to F13, but there was an era where those keys also had a second use, such as increase the volume or decrease the volume, two different ones, or a brighten or dim the keyboard, the screen, things of that type. So we can use a PC keyboard, but I'm more comfortable on the Mac keyboard for sure. Oh, can you make, I asked you, either you or Bridget, Chris, about this, to do accents, French accents on your typing. So let
yeah, we were talking about it in our run through last week.
Yes. So let me, I can bring up reminders because I could, no, I bet I shouldn't do this one because it doesn't. Let's go to notebook. Notes. Cooperate. Yes, there's notes, I think. And it allows me to do, S-Y-S, yes. All right. Go down below. S-Y-S-T-E-Grav-E-M-E. No, it didn't take it. What am I doing wrong? Because this, I got to say, a grav accent I haven't used in a long time. So, but I know I have the right key.
Yeah, on the PC, there. I use the alt key.
Yeah, I got it.
There it is.
I hit the wrong key. So what you do is command and the accent, lift it. No, command, accent, and the letter, and then you do the letter. And it didn't do it this time. Oh, I know, it's not command, it's option. As I say, I haven't done this. That's not a grave accent. That's an acute. Interesting. But if I want to do an acute accent, that's easy, is option E. And if I want to do a circumflex, maybe, this is an effort because I don't remember doing it. No, that's a different one. But there's a lot of keyboard things. And if you're, I obviously don't type in French as often as I used to, but your keyboard commands are right there and they're very easy to use.
So yeah, I guess really what we're running into is the same thing as on the PC side. It's mapping of the keys. And on the PC side, you can choose a keyboard layout that includes accented characters and so forth. But, yeah, it's a matter of learning what keys do what. And so yeah. I guess not a huge difference from the Mac on in that regard as you're finding trying to type in things there.
I do mostly like Gillian, where I had the alt. I use the alt key. I don't remap my keyboard. I use the alt key, and then it's 0234 is an accent aigu, and 0233 is an accent grave. Yeah.
So there's ways to do it, but on the Mac, it's if you're doing it regularly, you'll have it in two tries. You'll have it, the second sentence that you're needing to type, you'll get it right. So that's just another little thing that's available to you. And I'm trying to think, what else would you like to know?
Well, one big difference that I notice on the Mac, which I'm not sure if I'm in love with one side versus the other, and that's the when you're in any application window, the menu bar is, as you see it, across the top of the screen, as opposed to top of the window that is the application window. The benefit, I guess, is that your menu structure is always in one place on the screen, period. The disadvantage, I guess, is if you have a couple of windows that are open on the screen, you can only see the menu bar for the active window. So if you tile two windows side by side, one being Keynote and one being Notes or something like that, you'll only see the menu bar for the one active application. So yes, it's a little different way of doing things.
It's if you're switching back and forth, it'll change instantly. If you if you've got two side by side, it'll change instantly, and it's I didn't even think about it because or maybe I'll have two screens open when I'm not on my laptop.
We have a couple of questions. There was a question about the operating system. Is there an end of life that is declared for each version of the Mac OS where you have to upgrade if you want to be in support?
The end of life is really long. I expect to be able to upgrade this computer for 5, 6, 7 more years, and that would be an update by choice.
Right.
They will eventually make old systems not possible, not available. But my husband is running considerably older laptop on an older system. He's running. He must be about 5 systems back. I would like to get him on a new computer, but it works. He's happy with it. Some programs may stop working, but nothing that's essential to him. He's on Safari. That's probably what Safari am I on? About Safari. I'm on Safari 15.4. He might be on 10 or 11, but he can still run it. And so the obligation to update is more, do I want the features that the new system offers? And am I getting concerned about security? Because hackers are getting smarter.
Yeah, that's the thing that usually concerns me the most is whether it's supported from a security point of view. Tristan pasted into the chat window for anybody who's interested, the URL endoflife.date/macOS, which I presume will show the end of life for each version of the Mac OS. We have a question from Mark. Can you put the dock on the side of the screen as opposed to always having it at the bottom?
Yes, you can. And that's a useful question to remind me to open up System Preferences. Now, System Preferences, which I'm opening here from the dock, I like it at the bottom, but different people have it in different places. So, dock and menu bar. I can position on screen, left or right or bottom. So let's close this and let you see it on the left, but I think I'll go back to keeping it on the right. And because I don't, what have I done wrong or right? Oh, look and look.
Yeah.
Looky, looky.
Yeah.
But because the screen is not so high as it is wide, it is harder to distinguish the icons. So I got to open it the right way.
always tricky to do this in a demo, eh?
Well, there. I can minimize windows using scale effect. I can use things that are graphical as opposed to just here or not here. I can make them disappear in a sort of a swooping fashion. When I do a download, again, talking with my hands, but it's you will see the document arc over to the downloads folder, which is you just, oh, okay, it's arrived. And that's generally a small thing. Now, I'll show you something else down here. This is the downloads folder. And it, look at all the, there are the downloads. I actually want, whoops. I actually prefer to have a list. My other computer has a list, and I can't remember how to change this to the list. For me, the list is easier to search. And I've asked for further instruction to put it back. I haven't been able, I did a search, but I haven't asked the right question. So, and this is one that if you click away, it just disappears. It's not open in the background. I was going to show you something else on Safari that I like, and I want to drag. Oh, come on, you. Move. Yeah, there we go. I've told you I'm a tab user, multiple tabs. Look, here I'm clicking on a little box of four. Well, if I have 20 or 30 tabs, all these different pictures will show up on the in this screen. My other screen, my other computer, you see, on this one, I'm more restrained, or I'm restrained tonight. And so you don't see as many of them. But I think that's just, and to go back to this, whatever, I can just click on one of them and it reopens. I think it's tremendous. I use it a lot. Any other questions?
More a comment. Allison comments that they had an iMac, got back in 2008. And her son was still using it in 2020. Couldn't update the OS anymore since about 2018 or so, which is still pretty good for 10 years, you know, to have support. It still worked fine, is retired now because we have Windows laptops, but is still our Region 2 DVD player. Mm-hmm. And a comment from Tom, he says, I guess you can't right-click. I don't think the Mac mouse has a right button, eh?
No, it does, except I'm not using a Mac mouse at the moment because I've got to say wireless mouses don't last very well. They are expensive, the Mac ones anyway. So on my other computer, I am using an Amazon mouse. And of course I can right click. I can use the right click function. On a wireless Mac mouse, I think it's still called a Magic Mouse, I can right-click by position, but there are also finger patterns you can use, which are more like the trackpad. You can buy a wireless trackpad to go with, for instance, with my Mac Mini. I can have a wireless trackpad, but on this laptop, I'm using the trackpad, which is on the computer and is about 5 inches wide. And I used two fingers. And it drops that down. Let's see what three fingers. It doesn't do anything when I've done three, but let's try. Oh, I said to you that I have this dictionary option. Look up window. You see, that just drops down available. And I just think that's really convenient. Because sometimes there are words that defeat me. The odd time, I don't always admit to it. but by being able to look it up, I don't have to admit it, because I've found my information quickly. I also, some of the words, suppose I'm typing in French, the dictionary will give me a translation. Aha. I looked up the other day, for those of you who speak French, I had to look up paludisme, and I am bilingual. I had never heard of it before. It's malaria. Who knew? Nobody around me knew. I had to look it up. Any other comments?
Nothing that I've seen so far. Anybody, if I missed something, please re-enter it in the chat, but I think I've covered everything so far.
Fantastic. Okay.
Now I don't know if you have, if you want to launch GarageBand. No, okay. But I just wanted to say that there are some artists out there that are with iTunes and downloading of music. They are recording and editing their songs. Rihanna is one that did her umbrella hit on using GarageBand. And that's a free program that's bundled with a computer, with a Mac computer. And there is a pro version. It's a, well, there is a pro program called Logic Pro that a lot of artists are using. And when they have an in-house a recording studio, they just record from their home and they just release their albums directly from home. So they can do entire albums. Yeah.
So there's lots of options. And I know that on my dock here, which is where the programs I use the most live here. Let's go to the Finder and look in applications and see if I've got GarageBand here. I don't. I wonder why not.
Or Spotlight. Maybe it's hidden. You think it's...
Let's sort alphabetically. It might be easier. So I click on the top.
There it is.
GarageBand.
There you go. So yeah. Does it give you a chance to look? And I know
for
nothing
free,
about it.
For a free program, it's quite capable, apparently. And
would
you
like
even
to
access... sorry, Gillian.
I'm not going to access the microphone. I'm just...
Yeah.
To keep things safe. Let's continue in GarageBand.
Because it gives you... It can also give you music lessons, too. And even the Logic Pro, the super advanced music editor, is only $200. So it's really well received by pros, and they really like it. So it's amazing.
So this only gives you the things to explore in GarageBand, but under you see the menu bar that Chris was mentioning before.
Oh, yeah.
I drop down the file menu, or edit, or track. And when they're grayed out like this, so I assume this works the same on a PC or similar, it means it's not these different things aren't accessible until there's something to do with them. And so it's all there. But I'm not musical. I used to be able to sing, but I'm not, I don't anymore.
We have a question from Tom. Have you ever used Windows? I presume from the your history part of when you started using Mac, you probably never actually used Microsoft Windows, huh?
I have used Windows slightly when I'm helping my friend.
Oh, yes, right. Okay.
Virtually the only time. I really can barely find my way around it. As I say, I have to explore her computer as though she doesn't know anything. And I have taught her a fair amount because she would save a program a document, but where have you put it? I don't know. And so I did some instructing. If you want my help, we have to decide to do this. Well, you have to save it where I can find it as well in order to help you. And so she has adopted a few of my habits.
Have her come out to the PC user group, especially Q&A.
I don't think she'd do it, but she's not that keen. She does what she has to do, and she's not going to go further. She and I are the same age. And anything else I can show you?
Alan says, Gillian, the Everything app is like Finder. Okay, so Everything app is an app on Windows side of things that acts like Finder, I guess. So it integrates all of the things together. For file management on the PC, we have File Explorer, but it's not used as an all-encompassing type thing like Finder is, where, you know, you get your list of applications as well as, you know, documents and things like that. So, but he says there is this app called the Everything app that allows it to function more like Finder. I think one of the things that really struck me, when I was looking through the other night when we were testing out the Zoom and tonight is yes. how similar the capabilities are on both sides. So although they're a little bit different presentation of it, I mean, you know, the dock is, you know, is quite similar to the taskbar in Windows. You know, the menu bar shows up a little bit differently, but it's much the same. You have file, edit, view, help window, things like that. Finder being quite similar to File Explorer in many ways. Browsers are browsers, whether you're on, you know, you can get Safari for the PC as well, and you can get Firefox on either platform and so forth. So, you know, I was struck by how similar a lot of the capabilities really are between the two platforms.
I have heard that originally Windows has kind of had to learn to go this way because this has made it so user-friendly compared to the old way, the way before it became Windows. You had to learn more in order to function on the computer, I believe.
We have a question from Alan. Does the MacBook allow the use of multiple displays to get an extended desktop?
Yes. I don't know if I could do it with this I'm picking my computer. I'm sorry. this computer has a lot less in ports than some of the others. And I think Mac may go back to providing a few ports. And I believe that if I wanted to organize myself that way, I would be able to have an external monitor. I just can't be bothered. I move this computer around quite a lot, whereas I've got two monitors on my desk to go with my Mac Mini.
Okay. We have a question from Corinne. Can you save spreadsheets or documents in a format that is accessible under Windows?
That I'd have to experiment with. But if I'm working in LibreOffice, which I will use instead of Microsoft things, I don't want to buy Microsoft if I don't have to. And LibreOffice, I can download and use free, at least at a basic level. If I want to do more fancy things, I might have to buy something. But I can do a document in LibreOffice that I believe you could access from a PC. Equally, I'm going to save the slides, and I looked at it carefully because Bridget said to me earlier about giving her the PDF copy, and I looked around on under Keynote, and lo and behold, I could save it as a PDF. So there's many things that make it convertible. I also use Zoho a great deal because I can access Zoho. It's on the web. I use the spreadsheet and document stuff in it, and I can then access it from another computer without thinking twice. I don't have to save it in the cloud. It's in the cloud. And so I find it very practical.
I guess we're getting more and more of things like that with Google Docs and even Microsoft. You can work on web-based applications. And so, you know, you're getting more and more of that, which certainly helps for being able to translate across platforms.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Walker here. I've given a number of presentations to the group over the years on the history of computers and everything else. Microsoft actually came up with Microsoft Office for the Mac before it was available because Windows at the time there wasn't a Windows at the time. And so Microsoft Office, if you have it on the Mac and you have it on the PC, they should be able to exchange documents very transparently. Without any issues.
some of the programs have gone in different directions and between Windows and Mac. And although for ordinary things, that may well be true, I haven't tried to do it. Microsoft Office got less Mac-y for a while, and maybe still. Quicken is another one. Quicken is very strong on the PC. It dropped the Mac around 2007, and a number of us kept our old computers in order to use Quicken, because there was nothing you couldn't go on to a new system with Quicken, and so we stopped at 2007. Now they're coming back, and there are things available, but it took them 10 years or more. Anyway, have I told you enough?
Yeah, we have a couple of other things. Mark is commenting as much as anything else, but his question mark at the end. The Mac universe has a lot of device interaction capabilities, such as iTunes, syncing various Mac-based devices, right? So I presume this is the idea of the Apple ecosystem, that if you're all in on Apple and you have various devices, they tend to sync between them very, very well.
Yes, mostly, although I wouldn't say, I don't believe it's 100%, or it might be more accurate to say it's less efficient on one than on the other.
Okay.
But it's not something I try to do.
Okay. Alan pasted in a link about saving a Pages document as a Word document. So if anybody has to do that conversion, take a look in the chat window for a link to talk about how to do that. He says, with Pages document open, you click on File, Export to, and choose Word in the menu bar. Corrine asks, is FaceTime only available on Apple devices?
I believe it has started to be available on Android, but I'm not certain. Okay. Again, I use it on an iPhone, and I talk to another person. Actually, I use it on this laptop and talk to somebody who has her iPhone open.
Yeah. Gail mentions that she uses iTunes on her PC as well as on her iPad. So certainly there are some Apple-centric type things that Apple made available on the PC as well, iTunes being one of them. Stu makes comment. He always thought that with Windows, Microsoft was chasing the Apple graphical user interface while Apple was moving toward more business network functionality. And so ending up maybe somewhere in the middle, both of them quite quite similar.
Yes, yes. And that's what you said, too. They are moving together because it's easier to not have to know MS-DOS.
Yeah.
And so MS-DOS has disappeared because they've done the development that allowed people to not bother with it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I think that's all the questions we have so far, and I think that I accidentally let people unmute themselves because Bob shouldn't have been able to. I was surprised when he was able to unmute himself. Anybody who wants to unmute themselves, go ahead, or if you wanted to enter in more questions into the chat, by all means do so. Corrine commented, in the last century, Ottawa schools used Macs. I think now you're seeing much more going to Chromebooks than anything else in the schools, being much less expensive devices and having a lot of free software available for it. Bill, thanks, everyone. Another good night. Thanks, Gillian. Tom mentioned, then they collided, but gaming is all on Windows, and it stretched Windows computers. Yeah, Windows gaming is still a forte for Windows, for sure.
Yes, and I'm totally not a gamer.
Yeah, Bob Walker here. I started using computers back when my dad took me into IBM on the weekends, and I helped change the tapes on those big tape drives the size of refrigerators, and change the punch card decks and everything. And I've used computers professionally back in the digital PDP-AD and 1140 days. back when Mitel was in their glory days, they gave me a Mac Classic to use, and the graphical user interface and everything was just wonderful. It was like so far ahead of anything else, and it was so intuitive to use, and that's always been Apple's big thing, is they've made their things very intuitive to use. I got into Windows at Windows version 2, thanks to Chris, and it wasn't until Windows 95 that Microsoft even started to catch up, and Bill Gates' instructions to the development team were to make it as Mac-like as possible. So for many, many years, Microsoft has sort of been chasing after Apple and keeping it just different enough to keep from breaching any copyright and patent laws. And finally, when Apple was in trouble for a while there in the late in the 90s, Microsoft and Apple sort of signed a truce and cross-licensed each other on some of the stuff. But Apple's always had that edge on usability that Microsoft set a hard time keeping up with. And if there's anything I wish Microsoft would do with Windows, it would come up with something like the Time Machine. But the Time Machine, the functionality is so buried in the operating system kernel that it would be very difficult for Microsoft to add it in unless they came up with like Windows 12.
Well, it's not only in the operating system, but it's also at the hardware level, and that's where Mac can manage to do something like Time Machine because of the tight integration with the hardware, and they don't have to worry about, you know, the 100,000 different devices that are available for from third parties on the Windows side of things. I think that's the biggest impediment to actually going to something that is as easy to use as Time Machine. I really wish we did have something on the PC side that was as easy to use as Time Machine, but I don't think we'll ever see it. And I think as much as anything else, it's because of the hardware that it sits on.
Yeah, the only reason I sort of got into the PC side of things as opposed to Apple was Microsoft took my Mac Classic away and gave me a PCXT to use because they felt I had to learn AutoCAD, which is only available on the PC. And it's been like lunch bag letdown ever since. And all the employers I've had since then, you know, I've worked pretty much exclusively in high tech until the last few years of my career, have used Windows machines. So I stuck with it because of that, and I've gotten okay at it and everything, but things could have turned out differently after that first experience with the Mac Classic.
One thing I always like to remind people is that you don't run a computer to run an operating system. You run a computer to run the applications that run under the operating system. So if you have an app, you know, say GarageBand as an example. I've never actually used it myself, but if you have a particular app that only runs on one platform, that sort of dictates where you go on that. Fortunately, a lot of the major applications are available on either platform, so it becomes less of an issue what platform you're on. But as I look at, you know, the Mac OS and the way to operate on it, I'm sure that within, you know, a very short period of time, I could be working quite productively on the Mac just as I do in Windows. It's the applications that matter.
Yes, I would think so too.
Yeah.
So, should I stop my screen sharing?
Sure, I guess. We have no other questions up there now, so I think that, we can go back to that. So, if we have any other last questions that anybody wants to pose or comments or things like that, feel free to unmute yourself and jump in, or We're getting lots of kudos into the chat. So as we see that if there are any last ones, I would like to extend my thanks to Gillian for heading into the lion's den of the opposing camp. I think everybody was appropriately polite and cordial here, which is good. So I would like to extend my thanks on behalf of the group to get this view into the Mac OS.
Well, I'm happy on a Mac, and I didn't come as a representative of the Mac group. Some of them were sort of reluctant, but that's too bad. I like talking to people, and I like sharing information as much as I can. I might share more information than you wish I shared, but that's how it is.
No, that's great. It was really good.
That was great, Gillian. That was a great presentation. I really enjoyed that. It was nice for me to see the Mac again. If you're wondering why I didn't stick with the Mac, because it was the very first computer I used, my dad's Mac. It's mostly because of the price, because I was only in my 20s. So that the price was a big thing. And at work, they started using Windows computers. And I just thought, I had to use a computer at work. But the Mac, I mean, whenever I used the Mac at my dad's house, it was light years ahead of the Windows 3.1. And yeah, like Bob said, with Windows 95, Windows started the path towards looking like a Mac, and they finally reached it with the Windows 10. But the price was the biggest thing for me.
Sometimes you can be lucky. I found my iPhone as an open box at Best Buy, I think, at one of the stores, and it was, I would say, brand new. I wouldn't even say it was refurbished or anything. It was just, but it took $200 off the price. Hey, who's going to sneeze at that one? Another place to look is refurbished Apple. You might find something that, if you're looking, look regularly, and you might come up with something.
Yeah, with me in the 80s, there was no such thing as refurbished, really. So in the 20s, it was $5,000 or more, probably, just for a Mac. Back then. But it's much better now. They're still expensive, but they're more reasonable.
Yes, well, maybe. Their new studio Mac.
That's a big high-end.
Yes, very. I won't be buying one.
And how much is that, Gillian? How much is that?
I can't justify it, but I think it's over 2,000.
Is that a desktop or a laptop? It's a desktop.
Desktop, yes.
I know there are some. There are probably still some for 5,000, the really high-end ones for video editing and,
Yes. Yeah. It's just not me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, well, thanks again.
Thank you very much, Gillian.
I'm glad I was able to do it and to answer a few questions.
It was a great presentation. Yeah.
And I may see you in June. I watch what you send me. I'm not good at getting mail, but.
You are invited to our pizza.
Of course, you remember.
I will be reminding you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just a reminder to everybody that yes, indeed, the June meeting is going to be a pizza party at Vince Massey Park, and so information is available in the newsletter. Will be in the upcoming newsletter, and it's on the website as well. So hope to see everybody come out to that. And a notice as well. Alan pasted into the chat window about Q&A is on next week. So the queue is open for questions, shares, anything like that. By all means, send it into suggestion box at opcug.ca. And hope to see everybody next Wednesday night at Q&A. Thanks for showing up, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.